This is episode number 69 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of March 23rd, 2009. Coming up on today's episode, we've got our current distraction, gaming news. For our feature this week, sex and violence. I love those topics. We'll follow that up with new releases, listener email, and the something-something question of the week. And if you listen very hard, you might hear the pitter-patter of kangaroo feet.
Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 69.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hey. My name is Christopher Hugh.
Oh, who the hell was that?
Who's that?
Jeff, check your closet. The call's coming from inside the house.
Oh my God, it's an Australian.
My name is Christopher Eastman, and along with me is Jason A. Stryker.
Yo.
And Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And visiting Jeff Chorney in Canada is our favorite Australian, Repeat.
Hey, how you going?
What's up? Good to have you on the show again.
What is up, man?
Yeah, that's great.
I know, we were desperate for content, so we figured we'd bring you on again.
So not only did we steal your idea before, we were just like really hard up, and it's like, oh, the Repeat guy is pretty smart. Maybe we'll have him on again.
Yeah, he could do the new release list.
Honestly, I have no idea what's coming out, so.
That's all right. I'll try and do it justice for you.
Have you ever before?
Maybe once.
Okay. Just a second.
Anyway, Jason, how you doing, man?
I am doing fantastically. So I'm coming off a long, long week. Huh. Did you guys miss me at all? Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay.
Maybe a little. Totally. We always miss you, man.
A little bit. I missed not doing the show, but I had a lot of stuff going on preparing for Final Round, which is the big fighting game tournament here in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. Great time. Do you guys want me to talk about it at all?
Sure, go over it real quick.
Definitely, dude.
There is no real quick with this because so much happened. But I can kind of, I'll try and speed through the first couple days. Gutex, who you remember from our show just a few weeks ago, and also Mike Ross. Both of those guys are from SoCal, both top-ranked Street Fighter players. They wanted to come out to Final Round because you know what? There's money to be made at Final Round because there were like 243 people that signed up for the Street Fighter tournament, all at about $10 a head. So there was a big pot to be won. So they decided to come out. They came in probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, picked him up from the airport, got some food, went out to Final Round. And from there, everything's pretty much a blur because everything just happened so fast and the hours were so long. And I met so many cool people out there. It was just an amazing time. But, Friday kind of wrapped up. Saturday started. I should say that, we stayed there till probably about, 1 or 2 in the morning, came back, slept for a few hours, and then, got up and did the whole thing over again. Saturday, we woke up early, got there, and, registered for Street Fighter 4, and then waited till about 5 o'clock.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I didn't know, kidding. We sat around for a good 7 hours before we
could you at least play like Street Fighter while you're waiting or anything, or
they had they did have casual setup, but I mean it was tough as hell to get into a machine. So okay. Even if you did, you'd either get beat or something. Or you have people like Havoc that, would jump in and bust up in front of you. So it's like, what the fuck, dude? Anyway, Saturday kind of came and gone. I think I went through about 3 rounds in the tournament. I lost my first. I got counterpicked. I played Geef and somebody else picked Vega and just poked me to death, poked and flipped and didn't even, come at me in the air. So I couldn't even lariat or anything. So that was really frustrating. But second match, got through. And then the third, the strong punch on my fucking controller went out.
Oh shit!
So I built a brand new controller, and in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have done it at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. one of the buttons shorted out, the strong punch, which meant that I could not lariat, I couldn't focus attack. I was pretty much fucked. So, and Ryan had my other stick, Gutex. So he was nowhere to be found at that time. So I couldn't get a spare. So
if you couldn't have someone to sleep, couldn't be like, we got one down, and someone like tosses one in from the audience, just
like I looked around and like everybody was playing for real. Like that was one of those, you know, few rare moments like that where there wasn't like a big crowd of people around Street Fighter 4 for whatever reason. So yeah, I was kind of fucked. But the dude I played was really, really nice about it. He felt really bad and he's like, if you want a rematch sometime, that's cool. But it sucked though, because he had to like, you know, really think creatively. You're like, okay, yeah. I don't have half my move set here. What the hell do I do? Do I jab an awful lot?
And who was he using at the time?
He played Gen, and there were some pretty fucking crazy Gens. I gotta say that. Yeah, I think he's gonna be a pretty top contender from what I saw.
Huh.
Based on that weekend. You know, oddly enough, I didn't see a lot of Kens over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, oh,
that's strange.
That is extremely strange. Yeah, coming from playing online where everybody plays Ken.
Yep. But
you saw a lot of Sagats, of course. You know, he's overpowered. A lot of Rufuses and Zangief, I think.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Were the big ones. Yep. That's really about it, though. Saw some pretty, pretty crazy Vipers, believe it or not. Really? Yeah. Hmm. People are getting really, really, really good with her. One guy in particular, this dude named Kensu. Almost perfected Gutex in the finals.
Wow.
Like the first round that they played, a dude just came at him, fucking rushed him, and was smoking him. And Gutex came down to just like a sliver of life. And yeah, he told me later that he was shitting his pants.
I bet.
That was scary stuff. But actually, Gutex won that round, which, you know, place blew up when he did. But speaking of that Kensu guy, I think the most amazing, like, WTF moment happened at final round. And both Mike Ross and Gutex told me later on that they're like, that is the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen. So this dude Kensu, right, who plays Viper, he had a match against a dude named Liston, plays Sagat. I don't know if it was like...
Are these guys from SoCal too? Are they from like New York, or are they just from local?
Liston is actually from New York. Kensu's a Texas player, I believe. Really, really cool dude. But they both are. Anyway, I don't know if it was like two or three matches or, you know, best of five or something like that, but regardless, came down to the final round. They're both like a quarter inch of life, right? So anything could fucking happen. And I remember they actually both kind of pulled back and the crowd is just fucking chanting. I mean, the entire room is watching this one TV, or at least trying to, right? In any case, Kensu, I don't know if nerves got to him or what, but the dude just kind of threw out a random ultra. Completely whiffed it.
Oh no.
So you know, with Viper, you know, she does that, you know, the pound thing, and then she just flips continuously up in the air, and there's that long time when she's like coming down, so the room is just going fucking crazy, right? And Liston's got this locked, you know, he's watching, you know, her fall from the ground, and he's got Sagat, so he just starts warming up his ultra, and as soon as he, you know, as soon as it starts hitting off, he knows he's got it. People are jumping up in front of the TV, just going fucking crazy. People are screaming.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, people start screaming louder. And all of a sudden, you see
Viper.
Kensu jump back down onto his controller and start busting out combos because he did not fucking die.
What?
What?
When Sea Viper comes down from her ultra, she gets really low to the ground, actually. She like kind of scrunches up a little bit. So what happened is the Sagat pulled off it whiffed, it went completely over her.
Oh no.
And at that time, you know, people are like standing in front of the screen, you know, they're screaming, they're cheering, crazy stuff. But yeah, Kensu saw that, jumped back down on his controller and pulled out a couple combos and killed him and won.
Nice.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. But
That's pretty cool.
Sounds like a good time. Did you get any of this on video?
Yeah, actually, I got a lot of the crowd reaction, and I'm working with a couple of other the people that are that were filming there. This one dude named Ian is actually doing a documentary, and we're going to be pimping that a lot later. You'll see.
But cool.
There was some other guy that had front row seats that filmed the actual match. So hopefully we're going to
get
some footage from him. But
cool.
So yeah, that was the big, like, crazy, crazy moment. But the finals were also extremely crazy. They had a lot of they had, you know, both Gutex and Mike Ross, who was an amazing Honda player. Very, very cool guy. They also had a lot of people from New York and stuff, and Kensu made it, some dude named City of Brass, I think he's from ATL, but really exciting stuff. Justin Wong, of course, he's from New York. Justin Wong actually won it. Gutex took second place. Crazy, nice. Crazy stuff.
So how did the finals go? The Gutex and Justin Wong, did it come down to how they do it? Was it best out of five, best out of seven?
Best out of five, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Was it close to go all five matches?
I don't think it. I think it went to the fourth, but yeah, a lot of them were extremely close. I think one of the more exciting matches were probably from Gutex and Marn, like their second match, because they fought early in the semis. And Marn, who's, I think, from New York, I forget, but he beat Gutex.
Okay.
And that was crazy stuff. Like, I saw Marn later. He was, like, on Facebook. He was on friggin' IRC chat. He was telling everybody. He was on fucking Gutex. CNN. I'm not even kidding. And, yeah, so the later on, they fought, and it was a mirror match, Balrog versus Balrog. And, yeah, Gutex pretty much whooped up on him. So he got his revenge. So that I think that was the most excited that I saw him. But there was also another dude named Long Island Joe who played Sagat. And dude is just really, really inspiring. Like, he just gets the crowd going and stuff. And he's like good looking and charismatic and stuff. And total crowd pleaser, as it were. But
that's cool.
I don't know. All in all, dude, I mean, Ryan and Mike are amazing guys. They were lots of fun to hang out with. I met so many cool people. Street Fighter 4 is the motherfucking truth. I mean, this is like bringing people together. I can't say enough good about that game. Just a great, great time.
Cool. Nice. I'm jealous.
Sounds like you were quite busy.
Yeah, extremely. I shot a little bit of video, not too much, because I was more worried about like my matches and stuff, and we had all kinds of stuff going on Sunday. So, yeah.
So you didn't enter the HDR portion of it?
Well, no, I didn't. That was going to be Friday. And yeah, that was the one that I was kind of really looking forward to, because that was qualifiers for Evo for the region.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But Ryan and Mike were actually flying in at like 3 p.m. on Friday. So I even talked to the organizer, Larry, who lives here in town, and he said, no, I'm sorry, we gotta do the HDR thing like right away on Friday. So I can't push it back for you. I'm sorry. So
shitty.
I'm like, do I participate in the tournament or do I see Gutex and Mike Ross? Chose the latter.
So. Awesome.
Cool.
All right. Jeff, how you doing?
Good. Like I said, Repeat is down from Australia. He's doing a whole, I don't know, I guess you're kind of not really going across the world, but he went to New York first and he came down to Toronto or up to Toronto. And he's going to MGC this weekend. And so he stopped by and put him up with a little bit of room and board for about, I don't know, 3 days. You've been in here since when? Was it Monday?
Monday, yeah, I think. Monday? Yeah, Monday.
Wow. Yeah, I guess Monday. So we've been doing a lot of walking around, like, Toronto and stuff, and did the whole CN Tower thing, which scared the piss out of me.
Watched Jeff crumple into a ball.
I couldn't, like, the glass door to it when you're going up, it's completely, like, of course, we'll see through its glass as you're going up, and the elevator's a little bit crowded, and we were literally the last people in, so I was right up against that door as we're going up, so I turned around and just faced the back. I'm staring at this dude in the corner for, like, the entire time. It takes, like, a minute to get up to the top or something like that, and I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm like, no, I'm not looking out there. And they have a glass floor there, too. I actually put a picture of it on Facebook, but I'm like, there's no way I'm stepping on this thing right now, because we actually went out for a few pints first, but I'm like, hey, I still can need, like, one more drink or two more drinks. And there's, like, kids jumping around and everything. So we go up to the bar part of it and had a couple of drinks, came back down. I'm thinking, okay, I think I'm going to get on it now. And Repeat pushes me from behind. So I'm like, oh, I'm like, and a bunch of kids and everything. Little kids, like, laughing and still jumping around. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay, well, I'm already up here. Might as well take a picture really quickly and get the hell off here. But, awesome. Yeah, it was fun.
If it was the same way we walked around the outside, you would not move off the wall.
That's true. The outside has, like, there's no way you can fall or anything because it's like big net thingy, like steel net. But I was like, no, I'm like as close to the inner circle as I could be to where the doors were. I'm just like, Ruby's like, here, take a picture of me. I'm like, sure, but I ain't moving from here. So to get the angle you want. But yeah, it was fun. Other than that, I've been playing, I guess, a lot of Street Fighter and stuff. He's been here. He never played it yet, so.
Kick ass.
Cool. A lot of walking around. Lots of beer drinking, too.
That's even more kick ass.
You beer drinking, you think?
Never.
Never. But, all right, cool. Pete, how are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Been on holiday, so that's always good fun. Haven't really been playing all that much. I mean, obviously a lot of Street Fighter 4 with Jeff. I actually, when I was in New York, I went to Chinatown Fair, which is the big arcade. Well, yeah. I guess it's not really big. It's pretty small, but it's like the...
it's well known, yeah.
It's the well-known fighting game hangout because they have Street Fighter 4 cabs. They got a Blue Blaz machine. They got a
Tekken 6.
Yeah. Blue Blaz looked amazing.
Yeah.
It's just, I didn't actually get to play it though because I wasn't really game to jump on because the people playing it looked pretty damn good. And I was like, yeah, I've never played this before. I'm not game enough to try. And I really suck at Guilty Gear, which is what it looks a lot like. Oh, so,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun just going to, like, I mean, when I was there, I played some Third Strike, some Metal Slug. What else? SBC Chaos and a few other fighting games and stuff.
We're not on distractions yet, Pete.
Not?
No.
Let him go, man. I'm interested.
But yeah, but the like the whole Chinatown Fair arcade is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you ever get to New York, definitely check it out. It looks like from the outside, it looks so dodgy. Like the sign on the outside is like missing letters and it's falling apart. And
perfect.
You walk in, it's really cramped.
There's gangsters standing outside. Crack war.
That's really cool time. So yeah, just been hanging out with Jeff, getting ready for MGC this weekend actually.
Yep.
What's MGC?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I keep blacking it out because it pains me so greatly that I can't go.
Yeah, me too. Shut the hell up.
Oh, I'm giving you shit. Shut up.
How are you doing, Chris? You getting nervous yet?
Tired and up? Getting stressed.
Getting the morning sweats?
I'm not really nervous yet, but
no.
I am just, you know, we're just trying to get things done. And yeah, that's pretty much it. It's all the minor details right now. I went and picked up the key for the venue and all that good stuff. So
are you gonna go see boobies tomorrow?
I have no idea what I'm doing tomorrow.
Just little
Jason,
ones.
Jason's gonna go see boobies tomorrow.
Just little itty bitty ones. Just midget ones.
Midget ones.
I hope.
That's what Jason's saying, and I was talking to Alex, who is on our Fallout special.
Yeah.
And he's going too, and I was like, I honestly have no idea what's going on, and he just goes, it's going to be interesting. So I'm like, fuck, is it really midget strippers? That's going to be fucking hilarious.
Like I said, we just wanted them your size, Chris. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
We didn't want you to feel intimidated by the strippers.
All right, let's jump in. We'll start with Repeat. Repeat, what's distracting this week?
You kind of very little, really, because obviously because I've been traveling, so I've been spending all my time, you know, sightseeing and checking things out here and there. I did get a little bit of some portable gaming in, obviously on the plane and stuff. I played a little bit of Retro Game Challenge and some R-Type Command, just a tiny bit. But I figured after I'd been up for like 20-something hours, my brain doesn't function well enough to try and play a strategy game. obviously, a lot of Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, amazing. I love it. And then, yeah, whatever I played at Chinatown Fair Arcade. So, it's, yeah, some arcade games. That's pretty much been it.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that Blaze Blue now, especially because he actually took a video, I guess, with his camera of it and took a couple, like, shots with it. Even, of course, it's just, like, through a digital camera, but it looks so good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so seeing it in person, because I sort of walked in and the arcade is really small. It's about sort of three arcade cabinets wide. There's two cabinets either side, so it's like a really tiny passageway you walk in through. So I'm kind of walking down, looking in, and they've got like all the sort of old SNK games and some Pac-Man machines and stuff as you walk in. And when you get to the back, it sort of opens out. It's like an L shape. And that's when I kind of walked in out of the corner of my eye because the Blaze Blue cab's like a sit-down, so it's quite low.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of noticed and I just instantly turned and looked. I'm like, oh, my God, that looks amazing.
Good.
Yeah, the only one weird thing I noticed is because the characters are all 2D and the backgrounds are slightly 3D, there's a slight disconnect. Like the characters seem to float above the background. Just, I don't know, it just looked a bit weird, but yeah, like the animation was just so smooth and yeah. Can't wait to get a console version so I can actually get some time into it.
Yeah, won't be too long.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool, good stuff. All right, Jason, how about you?
Street Fighter 4.
Really? I never would have.
Hey, I tried to play some Phantasy Star Portable. And I think I got some time in. Like, I think I'm level
2?
5.
Wow.
Yeah,
so you did
dude.
First mission.
Yeah, that's about it. I got some cool, like, Monomates and some like sabers,
you know, trimates
or something.
Or
no, I think I got a trimate. Shit, yeah. No, that was a dimate. Never mind.
Oh, and you got to keep playing.
Yeah, I guess so. Game doesn't even start till you start getting trimates. Yeah, the Street Fighter 4 craziness. That final round, I got a lot of casuals in. I totally held my own, so I was more happy about that. I think I'm going to give up Giefer, though.
Really?
Yeah, you're saying that.
There's so many friggin' people that play Giefer, and they play him all scrubby and shit. It's just...
How so?
So then why would that make you want to not be him?
I don't
want to
be
him.
I don't know. I don't know.
Be like, I'll show you how to use Giefer, you fucking bitch.
Well, see, a Giefer-Giefer match is really, really tough because it's kind of 50-50. You don't know how it's going to go. It's really hard to dominate a Giefer-Giefer match, I think. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just never want to be in that position. And besides that, he has so many matches that are just such a fucking uphill battle all the time. Like, you really have to rely on them making a mistake and you not making any. Like, if you fight Bison, you know, like a good Bison, Sagat, if they're a good Sagat, you know, there's not really too much that you can do, you know? So, and I played a lot of matches like that, and I'm just like, why? I don't get it. You know, the payoff isn't enough. You know, he's not flashy enough. He's not all that fun. I don't know, but.
So are you going to switch to then?
I've been playing a lot of Fuerte. I've been beefing up on my Dan, but as much as I hate to say it, after just saying that there's so many people that play Geef, I feel the most comfortable in playing Ken, actually. But I'm not the, like, jump back, you know, show Ryuken fireball dude.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not the scrubby guy. Like, I get up in your face and stuff, and I just do pokes for the most part. But I don't know. I win a lot with him, and I feel comfortable with him, And like I said, I love Fuerte. He's a lot of fun. I picked up a lot of cool tricks over the weekend.
You actually know how to use him too, so.
yeah, I couldn't get a handle on him. The first time I played the girls against Jeff with him, and Jeff just does one move, and he's just like zipping around. I'm like, what the? Like, I can't follow him.
I mean, even if you know what he does, you know, he's got so many mix-ups. He's just a lot of fun to play. So, I mean, even if I lose, like, I had fun playing. Whereas with Geef, you know, if I lose, I get fucking frustrated as all hell because the entire match was me chasing them around, you know?
But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Cool. That's it. I've been playing Street Fighter 4. You guys all feel free to fire me if you need to.
No.
It's going to be the same next week, I'm sure.
All right, Jeff, what about you?
About Street Fighter 4.
Hey, all right.
like tons. Of course, with Pete never playing it before, we played it. The first night he was here, we definitely played a lot. Then last night before the bar, a few people came over and we're playing. We'll play for, I guess, a couple hours before we went out to the bar and stuff too. So a lot of that. I realized I put way more hours into Street Fighter 4 than I have. And I can't remember if I said this last week, but any other game, I'd say in the last like 10 to 15 years.
Kick ass.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. That includes like role-playing games and shit. So that take a long time to beat because I never beat them. So, yeah. Killzone 2. Still playing that every at least a couple times a week. Almost done with Halo Wars. And what I mean, almost done. I'm almost done the campaign. So I can finally try the online, see how that's going. I still like it. Pete actually picked up a copy for Retro Games Challenge.
Oh,
for the
cool.
DS. Yeah, kind of like a thank you for letting him stay
here. Like,
and
preaching the gospel. He's like, I got
exactly. Yeah. It was actually pretty funny because when I went and picked him up, we're walking back from the subway, and I was just like, hey, dude, by any chance, can you bring that Retro Games Challenge game for DS? Because I know that we kind of snickered at it and stuff when we were doing the new releases, and you're like, no, it's supposed to be a good game, all this other stuff. And then ever since then, I've been hearing a bunch of people on different podcasts playing it and raving about it and how great it is and stuff. So I was like, I got to check it out. He's like, oh, don't worry, you'll definitely play it. And then we get home and he gave it to me. It's fun. I think you guys would love it.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. I definitely am.
Yeah,
interested.
Same here.
Yeah, it's simple. It's like little, hey, here's a little arcade game. You got 4 challenges to do. Once you do that, you open up another game. I think I'm just about to open up the third game, but they're pretty clever little games, and they're good for a quick game here and there, from what I gather.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it. Peggle, finally played Peggle.
Oh, there you go.
That
shit is addictive as hell.
See, told you.
I remember laughing at Jace making fun. I'm like, are you serious? There's no way this game could be fun. And I downloaded the demo for it before work one day. I guess it was on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then right away, I'm like, I need the whole game. Yeah. And then I ended up being like 20 minutes late for work. And the online is awesome, especially the one where you, not the one, there's two different versions online. You can do one where you shoot a ball, then the next player shoots a ball, then you shoot a ball. But the good one is when you both shoot, like you both have your own screen, and then you basically got to clear it first or get the most points. And at the end of the match, it'll tell you, show you who the best, what the best shot was and cool. stuff like that.
So it's this is really, XBLA, yes?
It's XBLA, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it's, yeah, there's like trash talking in Peggle, which is ridiculous because you basically aim, shoot, and that's it. You're like, eat that, bitch. I got the long shot and I got it in the bucket. Right. See? It's
extreme long shot. Extreme,
yeah. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, those have been taking up most of my time lately.
Cool.
Yeah, all mostly right. Street Fighter, and that's basically, yeah, that's it. What are you, Chris?
Well, I played some more Killzone, progressed in the campaign a little bit. I really want to get online. It's just whenever I happen to jump on and look for people online, I don't see that many. So it's just kind of discouraging. So
it is kind of tweetering down now. Yeah. Oh, wow. The first week it was out, it was like at least 15 people on my list were playing it. And yeah. most of the time in the wow. same game. But now I'm noticing it's not so much. You'll still get the like the 6 or 7 regulars that are on it every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to come back? Because, I mean, this is supposed to be the PS3
Halo,
right?
I think it's
going
to stay constant, okay. And I just, you know,
yeah,
I just need to get in there and play. And I heard that there's not really a way to invite friends. Is that right?
No, you can't invite friends directly. It's a lot like Warhawk, where you can either join someone's game who's playing it on your friends list, or you just find the same server. It's not as bad, though, because like, there's so many people that are playing the game. It's usually not that hard. You just click on their name and say, join game, boom. It has a password, just message them for it. I think one of the big reasons I haven't seen too many people playing lately is because of Resident Evil 5.
Right.
So I think a lot of people are playing through that now. So I think it'll ramp back up there, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's see. I picked up a couple of PSN games. I picked up No Gravity, which is for PSP. And it's a space simulator. Pretty good. It's very arcade-like, very arcade-y. Moves pretty quick.
Is it a schmuck?
Seems to be a very small game, though. I haven't gone through it yet, though, but I've gone like 3 missions in, and it looks like there's only like 6 missions in the set of missions that I'm looking at. So I don't know if that's like the whole game or if there's another part of the story after that or what, but I'll get to that and figure that out later. But I also picked up, what's it called? Yeah, the $5 one that just came out on PSN.
Nobby Boy?
No, I played that too, but
that's oh, what
I'm talking about the shooter.
Yeah, something.
Astro Tripper.
Yeah, that's it. Astro Tripper. Picked that up. It's pretty fun. You know, it kind of reminds me of Defender in a way because you go back and forth across the screen.
Oh, cool.
And there's like a set area that you can fly in, and yet there's like a map at the top that has a radar and shows where all the enemies are on the screen. So it's very Defender like in that respect. But it's also got like you have 2 different weapons and you can power them up and stuff like that, and you know, it's pretty fun. And I've actually pulled off a couple trophies in there too, and the trophies are kind of interesting to get. Like one of them is destroy the first boss, like this spider, without taking out any of the turrets, which are on the front of its head. And, you know, you have to fly up in real close so he opens his mouth and you shoot his mouth. And then, you know, that's what kills him. And you just have to do that without destroying any of the turrets. So kind of makes it more challenging. But yeah, cool game. I'll be playing that some more. Most of my time this week, though, has gone to, of course, Phantasy Star Portable. I finished the story mode. It's not very long. It's only about 8 chapters, but it's as with all the things in the Phantasy Star universe. I'm not sure if that works. The story's not that engaging. It's just kind of there, and it's more about the gameplay and the loot grabbing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the character who this story focuses around, Vivian, is kind of annoying, but there's a twist in it. There's a twist in the story that makes it a little bit more interesting. So I'm glad I went through it. It was fun. And yeah, I'm still loving the hell out of the game. My main character is like level 63 now, something like that. She's powered up with like pretty powerful force. So yeah, I'm still playing it. Got Ad Hoc Party to work. Oh, I should have mentioned that.
No, it's about time.
Yeah, I know. It's like actually we recorded last week, and it was like the day after we recorded that I hooked up with Mark and Eamon, and we finally got it to work, and it was smooth as silk. It was awesome. I mean, there was no lag. The voice chat was awesome, and I mean, it was just a ton of fun, and I'm just so glad that we got it to work. And everyone who has Fantasy Star Portable, you should definitely get Ad Hoc Party. Go get it. Don't make a Japanese account. Go get the application and figure out how to use it, because it's so worth it. It was so much fun.
Don't you have a thread?
What did you have to do to make it work?
Okay, both of you talked at the same time.
So what did you have to do to make it work? Because like when we tried with the demo, didn't work at all.
Yeah, actually, I came to find out that there was a glitch in the firmware on my router. So I updated the firmware on my router, and then it worked.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, if anybody's having, you know, the issue that I was talking about in the past couple of weeks, then that might be what it is. So make sure that you have up-to-date firmware, because as soon as I did that, I forwarded my ports, and it worked fine. I was pretty surprised how quickly it worked after that. But Jason, I did hear what you said about the thread on VG Evo. There is a thread on VG Evo right now talking about Ad Hoc Party, and we do have a VG Evo room now, which is going to be World B Lobby 40. And if you've used Ad Hoc Party, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So, but yeah, check that out. It's on VG Evo under the Sony section and Modern Evolution.
Sweet.
Yeah. And that has been my week. It's mostly been Phantasy Star. I haven't had much time to game, but you know, at least I'm getting time in for that game.
Repeat, put the knife down.
that was me. That was beer against lamp.
Nice.
Beer nice. Bottle, yeah.
What are you playing next week, Chris?
Probably Phantasy Star Portable.
It's your honeymoon. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. And you know what? Crystal has a PSP on her registry. Nice. And we've already gotten her a copy of the game, and I have a new memory stick for her. So, regardless, we're gonna probably end up playing it. She loves the game too, so you know, I'd argue.
And we'll have to get in some Street Fighter when you're here.
Yeah, that's probably gonna happen. I'll let you kick my ass a little bit more.
All right, cool.
Oh, Chris, I gotta ask you, can you bring a joystick with you to Jeff?
Oh yeah, that's right.
I don't know if I have room in my luggage, but I can try.
This stick was actually used by Gutex and Mike Ross at the tournament.
Yes.
So it's been
awesome.
Battle tested and approved by the masters.
Sweated on.
Yep.
We'll talk.
All right.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Until then, how you guys want some news? I know everyone wants some news.
Oh yeah, I want to hear what's going on.
News. Not too much since we last recorded, actually. So I just picked up a few things here and there that people might be interested. The big news this week, actually, Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 has been announced for the PS3.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so surprised.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone really is.
No, not really.
But I guess now that Itagaki is gone from Tecmo, they can pretty much do whatever they want with that license, since they own it, not him. And they're, so not surprising. It's going to add in some, they say, graphical improvements, possibly new levels, new characters. And one thing I hope they really, really do is, because I didn't buy Ninja Gaiden 2, and the reason why is that from playing the demo, I thought the camera was worse than the first one.
Wow.
I was like, I can't do this.
It's a feature.
So I'm hoping they fix that.
That was by design, man.
Yeah, of course.
That increased the full difficulty level, yeah.
Yeah, that's why the game's so fucking hard, is because the camera sucks.
You can't see anything.
Here comes the hate mail from Necro. I can hear him typing it right now.
Ding! Email received.
Not hate mail.
Capcom is saying they're going to have more and more games out on the PSN. Because PSN Japan, I guess the North American PSN, I should say, because PSN Japan is already getting stuff like the first Resident Evil's on there to download.
Yeah.
They also have in here like games like Xenogears, but I'm not sure. Isn't Xenogears Square?
Or did Square Soft, Capcom? Yeah.
It's Square, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they're saying they're going to focus more on the
the North American ones, and also there are more games in the pipeline that is waiting to be approved, or so to speak, from Sony.
Cool.
So I guess to go through their approval process.
Yeah, I think they've got a majority of the Resident Evils on there, even like Outbreak or something.
Oh, really?
I heard that Dino Crisis is over there too, yeah, on the PSN store.
Pretty much like everything.
They got heaps of stuff over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Japan has like every PS1 game already on the store. So. I tell you what though, I hope Capcom keeps its PS1 fighting games to itself.
No, oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're saying on another form, like port the good ones.
Yeah, port the Saturn versions. Yeah. Don't bring the PS1 versions to the PSN store because they suck. It's like I can imagine them bringing X-Men versus quote unquote X-Men versus Street Fighter for PS1 to the fucking PSN store. That would be ridiculous.
That would be good. I mean, they were talking about trying to do more of like the HDR remix style of things for some of their other fighting games.
Good.
Yeah, I think Marvel vs. Capcom, or maybe SNK, I think were the ones that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
I would love to see Marvel vs. Capcom 2 redone in HDR, but that would be a lot of work.
Yeah.
So many
fucking characters.
Yeah.
Considering how long SF2 took, redrawing all those characters would take him years.
Yeah, and then plus you have to think there's more frames of animation for each character in the alpha animation. That's what they used was the alpha sprites, right, for the Versus series?
Yeah, they did use the alpha ones.
Right, so there's going to be a lot more work to do with that one. So,
oh, for sure.
I wouldn't count on it anytime soon.
No. And
not
more
that
sprites.
You can see anything that's going on in Marvel anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
All I see is flashy effects everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, I had a transition there, but we've moved on, so I don't want any more. I'm just going to go straight into it. Sony has a new bundle starting March 29th. It's the 80 gig, $399.99.
No.
It comes with, wait for it, Metal Gear Solid 4? No.
What?
MotorStorm 2? No.
What?
Killzone 2.
Whoa.
No.
Oh.
Resistance and MotorStorm.
Wait, what?
Wait,
what?
The first ones?
The first ones. The greatest hits version.
For $3.99?
For $3.99.
That's exactly what I go with my
Who gives a shit?
Oh, really? Yeah, who gives a shit? Yeah, I don't know. It would be nicer if there were newer games, but you can look at it maybe if you're buying a PS3, you might not have experienced those games in the first place, and at least they're giving you something.
Price drop.
What?
Price drop.
Price
need
drop.
A fucking price drop. Stop with this packing.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
They
it's
just
coming.
Need to make the game, the system $299 and be done with it. I know there's tons and tons of rumors about that going around now, too. Like some EB store said that it was happening this weekend. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll believe it when I see it. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, this could be a thing, too. Maybe this $399 version, they want to keep it at $399. So instead of dropping it, they add in the two games that basically cost them probably nothing by now.
Right.
And they sell the 40 gigs out, right?
No, actually, it's the 80 gig and the 120 gig.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, never mind. I was going to say maybe they're going to come out with another.
Yeah. I have not been paying attention.
Yeah, I got the 60. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that was the good one. That's what matters.
Yeah.
I can see them like releasing this and then releasing a $299 with and like going back to the 20 or the 40 gig drive, so that it makes it seem like the $399 bundle is more than just like $60 upping, you know?
Yeah.
So
no, that's what I was gonna figure, but they haven't announced anything like that yet. But they need it, and I guess it's a good start. At least now you're getting a couple games, so it's just when your friends are playing Resistance too. Yeah, they are good games.
They are good games. But still, the price of the system in this economy is a crime. It's horrible.
That's right.
It's a travesty.
What is horrible is those adult predators that thrive on video game, Xbox Live, PSN, and the Wii.
The Wii?
Network, I guess, whatever you want to call it. It's not even a network.
Worked really hard for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're reaching, aren't you? You're really reaching for that one.
Totally. Cybercrime Unit is saying that Animal Crossing is not a game for adults. And basically they're saying if you are an adult playing Animal Crossing, chances are you're doing it because you want to be, kind of seduce a child or some kid playing the game.
Well,
because adults would not want to play this game.
Of course. No adults play Animal Crossing. That never happens. No. What the hell are they talking about?
I don't know. It's kind of a big generalization. They are saying that three, I guess, kids out of Missouri or something like that were contacted. They don't say how they were contacted or whether or not it was for sure through Animal Crossing, but apparently three kids were contacted by strangers, and they assume that it was through Animal Crossing, and where else could it be, because no adult should be playing that game. I mean, keep in mind,
look at it.
It does look ridiculous, but I mean, I do know some people who like the Animal Crossing.
Well, sure. Yeah, but, sure.
Yeah, and I don't know, the Wiikos, you have to talk to these people before you get to play with them online or send them anything online, so.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Whatever.
Hmm.
Maybe, yeah, things that make you go, hmm.
And what else makes us go, hmm, Jeff?
I don't know, but I was going to say, I'm going to craft a good transition into possibly crafting a good name for a game. You know, that Cooking Mama game?
Yeah,
yeah,
I've heard of that. Guys. Yeah, Gardening Mama. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to talk to the guys, and I think we should put together a game where you're a mama and you craft things.
What?
And...
wait a second. You,
yeah.
That's already been done.
What? No.
That's just, that's Sisters in Gaming. Sistersingaming.com.
Oh, no. Because Crafting Mama has actually been trademarked.
What?
By Majesco.
By Sisters in Gaming. Majesco?
By Majesco.
Fuck that shit. The sisters had it first. Going to write a letter.
So that doesn't mean the game's actually being made. It just means that they trademarked the name, so they could be thinking of working on it. But yeah. So not only did I try to steal it from Sisters in Gaming, someone else beat me to it, and they already trademarked it.
What a bunch of shit.
I'm going to write them a letter, and I'm going to say, it is not yours. And it
what else? But honestly, what else should you put in that letter? Like maybe
well,
PS?
At the end, I'm going to say,
who gives a shit?
That belongs to Sisters in Gaming. You can find them at sistersingaming.com.
I wonder if they could actually fight him for it. I don't know.
I don't think it would hold up very well in court.
Well, we'd have Sisters in Gaming's back, so we'd obviously win. Right. They'd win for sure. I mean, what lawyer is going to get us on anything? You know what I
mean? All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll talk about mature rating games and if you know developers are taking them a little too far and trying to use it to sell games.
69, Porno
Mama.
Porno Mama.
Porno Mama.
Sorry.
I had to.
Thanks a lot. Now I got Prager porn in my head. Thanks.
Well, to have it in your head, you must have already seen it.
I know. You must have already seen it then.
I've traveled around the internets.
You've dabbed. Yeah. You've dabbed in a little bit.
Yeah.
He likes to get his feelers out there.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, just experience things, I guess.
I hear you.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about mature rated games. We'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up. Here we go. Hello, my name is Chris Ferriccio from Interactive Distractions, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney. Jeff?
Damn mute button! Every week... fuck, man.
Dude, are you playing something? We're doing the ad spot.
Oops, one second, Chris, one second. Okay, I'm good. Let's go.
Okay, let's try this again. Hello, my name is Chris Ferriccio from Interactive Distractions, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And Jason A. Striker.
Wait, what are we doing?
Oh, fuck this.
Jason, we're doing that ad spot, remember? The one that you helped write?
Oh, yeah, my bad. See, I thought we'd just, like, practice or something.
All right, Chris, ready to go. Chris?
Man, we can't even stay focused for an ad. How the hell do we actually get through a podcast?
Seriously? And we got nominated for a podcast award?
Well, they kind of had low standards.
Interactive Distractions. So many games, so little time.
Interactive Distractions is a proud member of the VG Evo Podcast Network.
And welcome back.
Hey.
Thank you.
You're welcome back.
Hey, how you doing? Today, we are talking about mature rated games. And whether or not developers are... on episode 69, we're talking about mature rated games. And whether or not developers are relying too much on sex and violence to sell their games. So with that, we did get quite a few emails, so I'm going to pass the show off to Jason and let him do his thing.
Because it's my show, I get to totally indulge and play this song a little bit.
So what are they saying in that clip? I don't get how it's relevant.
I think they're talking about sex and violence and how it's hand in hand. So as well it does. In
just
games.
Being an ass.
Can I also say that I think it's funny that the podcast that likes to talk about X Blades and God of War.
Hey,
and
I was waiting till I could bring that up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's all along with X-Plays. I said the only reason this thing's going to sell is because it's got a chicken underwear on it.
The irony is not lost on us, for real. But, let's just hop into an email. This one, hey guys, Necro here as usual.
Hey, he's all about sex and games.
That's right.
He's a pervert.
And tie for the win for on his side anyway.
First off, congrats to Chris for getting married.
Hey, thanks.
Try to restrain yourself and not break out the Phantasy Star portable at the wedding, you old geek.
I won't break it out at the wedding. It'll be the honeymoon.
Are you sure?
Happens.
It'll be like the reception,
No, the reception will be too busy doing the 16-ounce curls.
All right, okay. I think I have money on that. We're all going to bust out our PSPs at some point during the reception, like in a corner or something like that. But we'll see if it happens or not. Secondly, question of the week. I mean, sex and violence obviously do sell, and some games aren't shy about that, like Onichanbaro, which is basically all about the blood and boobs.
There you go.
I'm so disappointed about that game. Personally, I'm fine with it because it seems that there is some balance out there. You still do have some creative games coming out, like Little Big Planet and Flower, for example. It's really hard to get away from both altogether because, it's just part of our culture as a whole. But I think there's a big difference between a mature game and an M-rated game. Games like Bioshock, Fallout 3, and Metal Gear Solid 4 all have rather serious mature subject matter and are mature in a grown-up way rather than just plastering the screen with boobs and blood. Although all three games have their fair share of both. It doesn't act as a bullet point gimmick. That being said, as much as I love a serious, engrossing story in a game, I'm just as prone to enjoying staring at bouncing boobies and hacking zombies apart for the hell of it.
Necro?
No.
What? Never. Not a chance.
And lastly, Indus, I got to tell you a short, shocking, and true story.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. I was playing my PS3 last Tuesday. I left for dinner. Came back.
Yeah, we mentioned this on the last show.
Oh, did you?
Go ahead. Go ahead and finish reading it because I don't know if you've listened to the last show yet or not. So.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe nobody else did, apparently. And it was off after I left it turned on. It blew up, apparently, and wouldn't come back on. The next day, I turned on my 360. Fucking E74 error. So, both of my consoles died within hours of each other.
That's shitty.
What are the odds of that? Luckily, my PS3 is breathing again after my rather foolhardy attempt at repairing it by opening it up. He fucking opened his PS3?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Don't know what I did, but it works. But your warranty doesn't anymore.
That's right.
As for my 360, the coffin is here, and I'm sending it out. Wow. Just wow. Oh, and lastly, Cammy fucking rocks in Street Fighter 4. That is all. Sign Necro. She's pretty badass.
I like her. He of course picks her because she has a nice ass, but
No, of course.
That's fine.
I think that Cammy's easily, I played against him a few times. We kind of have connection issues every once in a while, but definitely his best character.
Cool.
Okay. That doesn't say much though.
Somebody stop me before I start talking about Street Fighter.
Stop talking about Street Fighter. Stop thinking
it's really hard to punish her after a cancer.
Anything comments
talk
there
about his email at all? Onichanbaro and how much that sucks and how much we wanted it to be, a really exploitative game, but a good one.
Well, he mentions that there is a balance, and I do think that there is more of a balance right now. There was kind of a time where mature rated games seemed to overflow the store shelves, and I think there still are a great number of them coming out, but Yeah, I mean, I think we are seeing a lot more of the more family-oriented or even the more tame games that are coming out. Like, I mean, a good example would be Heavenly Sword, for instance. Heavenly Sword could have easily been a mature-rated game, and they toned it down to be a teen game. So I thought that was an interesting approach for them.
Yeah, but she was still kind of... They still played the sexy angle for her, too. Even though she didn't have the gigantic boobs, she was still wearing, like, not that much clothing. And
yeah, she still had her ass hanging out.
She still had the sexiness going on.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Not so much the blood and gore. And also, Heavenly Sword didn't sell that well.
So. No, it didn't. That's true.
Hmm.
Which is a shame, because it is a good game.
Yeah, because you look at all the top selling games, they're all violent. Yeah, well, the whole
it's
thing.
It's 6 hours, Jason.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Five and a half.
Sorry, those first 2 hours, I... Do you know that I could actually just sit there and just let people attack me and she would auto-block? And
You go like, make a sandwich.
What?
Come back.
All right. Let's move on to another one. This one's from Jack Bauer. He says, most developers don't rely on gore to sell their games, such as Grand Theft Auto 4. Even though it's a violent game, it doesn't rely on blood as a gimmick. Not technically, I guess, but anyway, there are many other games that have gore but use it only as an aid to realism, like Call of Duty or Resistance. Other games such as Dead Space and Mad World use excessive amounts of gore to add extra feel to the game. Would Dead Space be as good if you shot an enemy and its arm just dropped off with no effects? On the flip side, would a game like Patapon be any better if the enemy exploded into a sea of blood?
Yes.
Hell yes. No, it wouldn't. That's best left out of games after what happened with the San Andreas hot coffee fiasco. Signed, Jack Bauer. Grand Theft Auto, not relying on gore.
Well, it doesn't rely on gore, but it's sure as hell.
But violence, yes. Violence? That's why it's number one.
Yeah.
Because you can do
like both sex
stuff.
And violence. As a matter of fact, you can have sex with a hooker and then kill her and take your money back.
Exactly.
So there you go.
That's just teaching important life lessons on how to be frugal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In case you ever run into
how to treat your hookers out there. That's how you do it.
This is how you treat a whore.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like all the big song games are all they have one or the other. It seems like Grand Theft Auto. Probably the biggest selling, I guess, series out there across all platforms.
Yeah, very violent.
Sex and violence. Gears of War, definitely gory as hell. Violent. Halos, not so much gore, but still kind of violent. Even Madden. Madden's one of the best series ever. It's football. Yes, a lot of people love their football. But also, is it just a coincidence that they love a sport where you basically brutalize the other team and tackle the shit out of them and with hard hits?
Well, if it was all about that, then Blitz would have done a lot better.
I'm not saying all about that. I'm just saying it kind of because it's a coincidence that one of the highest selling games in sports and also most watched sports in North America, being football, is because of all the crazy the tackles and the way they promote it. Even they promote it in the NFL. It's like a war. It's like there are two teams going into battle. It's the front line.
Watch as they clash live.
Yeah, exactly. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry.
God of War. I mean, Ninja Gaiden 2, they added a shitload of gore for...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, yeah. Their gameplay is pretty much the same. Yeah, and they put in a whole bunch of gore, and a lot of people thought it made the game better.
You mentioned Mad World. There is a good example.
Yeah,
super gory game.
Yeah.
And it's really weird, too, because of the fact it's black and white and red.
And red, yeah.
Yeah.
It's stylistic gore.
Yeah, it is very stylistic, and I think it looks really cool, and I really want to get my hands on that game eventually. So.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that game would be a game, though, that wouldn't likely not be as fun without it because the whole game's based around it.
Yeah. It's all about the stylized art for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like Mortal Kombat. You know, it's all around what Mortal Kombat used to be, I guess.
Yeah.
When it was
all about the blood.
Blood comes out and that was their selling point. It's whether you can actually make the game play behind that fun and worthwhile. So.
And that was actually when Mortal Kombat 2 came out on consoles. That was a big selling point for the Genesis version was that there was a code to put in for blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Super NES didn't have it.
Yeah,
and I guess that's kind of my whole point in this is that like isn't that kind of sad because it is a gimmick.
Yeah, right? It is.
It's a gimmick, yeah.
But it doesn't always work. I mean, look at the way Rockstar has done things over the past. It's like Grand Theft Auto was such a huge success, and then they turned around and they tried to make something like State of Emergency, and it pretty much flopped. You know, State of Emergency did not do as well as they expected it to at all.
No.
Well, there's a reason for that. The game was terrible.
Yeah,
it was terrible. Good. That's true. But it's just getting to the point that even if the game is overly violent and attracts that market, you still have to make a quality game to get it to sell.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, how did Manhunt sell? Does anyone know offhand?
I don't, but I can look it up for you.
Yeah, if you want to really quick while I'm discussing, because at the game's core, that's pretty much what Mad World is. It's Manhunt. You're on basically a game show, and you're thrown in there, and you have to kill these other dudes. And it's not getting any of the publicity that Manhunt got when it was coming to the Wii. When they had to like tone it down, or else it was going to get an NC-17 rating.
It's more different. Like the Manhunt stuff was more sort of, it was more serious and like realistic and stuff. It was Mad World. They've clearly gone for this completely over the top zany. Yeah. Like you're chopping people in half with trash cans and impaling street signs into people's eyeballs and things. Whereas Manhunt, you were going around killing people with plastic bags.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where it came from, because I think it was in like the UK or in Europe somewhere that some kid apparently tried to do this sort of thing to some other kid, or you know, one of those stupid ass stories like that. But I mean, that's the big difference. Is Manhunt is much more realistic, and Mad World's just completely over the top. So
yeah, being black and white probably doesn't hurt it either. And red.
Yeah, I mean it detracts from, you know, any sort of realism that, you know. Yeah, like we said, it's a stylized choice. So,
yeah,
when you make it that, you know, far out, then you know it's not realistic, and there's less people that'll bitch about it.
So, right?
Yeah, it looks cooler to me, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it does.
Manhunt 2 sold 500,000 copies,
so I guess it's not too bad when you compare it to other games that are that, like, because that's a game that totally sells itself on grotesque violence, basically. Mm-hmm. And I guess it sold well, decent, but not crazy amounts. And I mean, people want to play video games to do stuff they can't do in real life, and things that they want to de-stress. And they want to kick the shit out of somebody. I know people don't want to play Office Games 2009. You know, it's...
Yeah.
I do.
You probably do, don't you?
Yeah. No, not at all. Not even close.
Let me do another email.
Well, watch it, because if there's a DS game coming out called Office, you know, Games 2009, repeat will give a shit, so.
You'd be like, yeah, I can't believe you didn't do your research on this. All right, next email. Hey, Indus. This one's from Omri Kelmi, also known as Verkka.
Verkka?
Verk.
What?
Verker? I don't know. What the hell? You need to send a pronunciation of your also known as name. It's V-E-R-K-K. Sure.
Like Verk?
But it's like capital V, lowercase e, capital R, capital K, capital K. So you tell me what that means. You can't, can you? Sure. Verk.
Anyway, under the email.
Oh, yeah, email. I think the games that have gore or sexual aspects intentionally are games that need those things to be more realistic or to show more realism to an extent. For example, the Call of Duty series was forever a T-rated with almost no blood or gore in it. But when World at War came in, it would seem realistic, sadly enough, to have gore since it's a war. I feel the same way for Gears of War, since it's not realistic, but in a serious, dark game in terms of emotion and violence. Then it's okay, since it's an M-rated game. I feel that sex in games are overrated in a way. I mean, it's not a big deal, since the games that have these elements should be M-rated games, even though kids get it. That's the parents' fault. I don't think that sex in games have any real influence, since it's just strippers or a male schwang. But until we see a real sex scene with no censorship, it will still be a gimmick.
That's been done in Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Well, not in the US, because you guys are far too sensitive.
It's
for
censored
that.
Here.
Yeah, I know.
Far too sensitive.
But oh, the European copy is completely uncensored.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Well, we got the Mass Effect sex scene, though. And that is really...
I'm,
you know,
still scarred.
Oh, my God,
that.
It's video game porn.
I am, yeah. I'm going to go accost
some
blue chick.
Saw the top of an ass crack and a bit of a side boob. That's crazy.
Anyway, it will still be a gimmick to put sex / nudity in games. If we don't see an emotional sex scene in one way or another, it will only be a way to show, look, it's an M-rated game, look, boobies, instead of showing sex as something emotional for a relationship or a plot to a story in the game. Boobies and schwangs, it's just a lame gimmick that will always look like something immature instead of something significant and meaningful, sadly. Keep up the awesome work with the podcast, and congrats to Chris with his marriage.
Hey, thanks.
From Omri. Vrk. Vrk. The Vrk.
Vrk.
Vakr. The Vrk.
Well, is it a gimmick? Would sex in a game be a gimmick?
Yeah, it depends. When it's like Leisure Suit Larry games, yes. Wow. That's why they caught on, stuff like that. But I mean,
that's
the
poor gameplay right there. What are you talking about? That's not the gimmick. Come on.
You're right.
Playboy the Mansion.
When I tried to get through that password on Leisure Suit Larry 3 over and over again until I got it right, it was not because I wanted to see those boobs go below the window or below the blinds. But I don't know. It's like for a game like God of War, as much as I love it, and there is boobs in it, they don't have to be there.
No, not at all.
But you get valuable experience for doing that scene.
Yes, you do. But
you
can
rub
the gore out of
boobs
of
just like your analog sticks. it's a sex simulator, really.
Yeah. I don't know. See, that's the game where they can lose the sex. They couldn't lose the gore. I don't think God of War. I think that does.
Yeah,
it doesn't make the game, but it adds a lot to it. It's like if they were to take the gore out of Gears of War, it just would not be the same.
Yeah.
You'd be like, true. Okay. So in those kind of cases, I don't think they're necessarily gimmicks. They don't say, hey, listen, buy our game because it's gory. Because it's, yeah, because like the Heavenly Sword wasn't gory, but you're fighting like humans for the most part. Well, somewhat. And then, you know, they die. They don't, not chopping off limbs or anything. But with, you know, God of War, it's more of a style thing and more fantasy world. It just makes more sense to be ripping things apart.
True. Right, you. Well, I mean, you know, it's you can't rely on it, you know? It's just got to be, you know, something that kind of enhances the experience, as it were. But if you rely way too much on, you know, sex appeal or, you know, just over-the-top gore, and then you're left with a game that's just lacking, you know, people see through that. And your game's going to sell for shit.
Yep.
If you look at the Soldier of Fortune, like, FPS games, they're always lauded for having insane amounts of gore, like you shoot people's arms off. They're like one of the first games to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but they just weren't that great. Like,
yeah, and you're always gonna get those people that are like, OMG, his arm just blew off, and you know the hype's gonna, you know, start reaching insane levels, and people are gonna be like, you got to try this game out. You can blow this dude's arm off, but at the end of the day, it's like, meh.
Yeah, the novelty wears off, and people like BMX XXX. How did that do? Like the advertising campaign everywhere. Like, yeah, there's topless bike riders. It's gonna be awesome. And
it's another game that did awesome.
This is where I like. This is where I like. There is like. There's a lot more smart gamers out there than dumb ones, because they will, like, you know, vote with their wallet, so to speak, and they'll see that and be like, hey, cool, there's boobs, but this game is not good, so we're not gonna buy it. Yeah. It's more like one of those things. Like, I'm not gonna buy it. You go buy it, man. Go buy it. Let's go buy it, and you buy it, and then
we'll go rent,
play it for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. People do, I mean, we shape the industry with our wallets, and unfortunately people will buy a lot of, you know, impulse purchases based on hype. So,
yeah,
that's why we're seeing crazy games get, sell a lot of copies, and that's why we're still seeing that stuff. Because it sells.
He mentioned, like, building relationships. If you're going to put sex in games, then try and then build and actually build relationships.
Yeah.
And the one game that actually tried to do that I can think of was Mass Effect, and it did it badly.
It was a little corny.
It didn't feel like it was really a relationship between the two people. It was just like, get into a conversation and all of a sudden you're having sex. It was one of those things.
Yeah.
And I think they could have done a lot better with that. Like, make it so that it doesn't always happen. You know, it's not. And in I think in Mass Effect, doesn't it always?
I don't think
happen,
so.
Which you always
no, my friend first played didn't get that. He didn't have sex with either of them.
See,
really?
There you go.
Yeah. No. Okay. Good. Yeah. Well, that is good then. Right. You know, as long as they make it so that
you know, there's a path where it doesn't happen, that where the relationship wasn't built.
Yeah.
But they didn't make it difficult to do it, and I think that's there's something wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing of that. That's why I'm bringing back Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy again. Like, there's a number of times in that where there's the sex scenes are optional. Like, one of the there's a big scene where your ex girlfriend comes over to pick up some boxes and stuff, and depending on how you play out the scene, you have to sort of, you know. It's like it's really awkward watching the scene and stuff, but it's like it's actually like a sort of it makes sense and it sort of works and it
yeah. It, like besides like we weren't big fans of the game, but GTA 4 did, even though it got annoying, did do the relationship thing kind of well. With you like
they overdid it though.
They overdid it to the point where it got annoying. We're like, yeah. Hey, dude, this is like everyone's like a new girlfriend or something like that. Even like your dude buddies. Yeah. Calling you like every 10 minutes, like, dude, we're gonna hang out. Like, dude, let's clean out your vagina. I'll be there in a bit. But yeah, it's I think they're on the right path, and they can integrate more than just like them calling you, or if the game could do like more than them calling you, let's do activity A, B, or C, and then that's it, and put more like you get more out of it. And you couldn't just stick that in any game. It would have to be a game where it would make sense, something like a role playing game, like a Mass Effect or even like a GTA or even like a Fallout, whatever.
Yeah.
Until they do something like that, throwing a sex scene in there just for the sake of throwing in a sex scene is a bit of a gimmick.
Yeah. And it's gonna be for a long time, I think. Mm-hmm. Until it becomes, I don't know, a little more commonplace, till it's treated a little more responsibly, I guess. And you know, Mass Effect is probably one of the better examples, and you know, Pete also mentioned like
Fahrenheit, because at least you have to do something to build that relationship
there. Right, and there is a relationship, and
yeah, you do have to hit A.
You have to hit A a couple times.
You do develop there's conversation trees and everything, but you know, Chris kind of nailed it. We all tried to get fucking laid, didn't we?
Of course.
We were all always like, I'm gonna nail the blue chick, no, I'm gonna nail the other chick, but I know that took away from the experience, but they tried.
Actually, which relationship path did you go down? Like, because I've played through it twice, and I tried. So I did the whatever the soldier chick, which has got the incredibly cheesy ass dialogue afterwards.
Love
it. Yeah.
But doing like the
it is horrible.
Yeah, but doing the Liara thing, I thought it was a bit more interesting, and it seemed a bit more genuine almost.
Oh really?
It still wasn't great, but. It was kind of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do the blue chick because I didn't get her till way later in the game. I think her mission thing, like her planet, was the last one I did. So when it came time to decide, I really couldn't with her because there's no relationship built at all.
Yeah, that's what happened to me on my first playthrough. The second playthrough, I actually got her instead of the guy.
The bottom line is like, we all wanted to do it. It's not like we're like, no, you know what? That's cheesy. It's just a gimmick. I'm not going to do that. We all did it.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If it's there, I mean, people are still going to.
Oh yeah,
gimmick or not, but right. It is.
And,
still...
and we're guys. We like boobs. We like the violence on the video games, and we still like fart jokes. They're always going to be awesome.
And we had to make sure that there were, you know, we had to make sure just in case if there were any, you know, good boob shots. Turns out there weren't, but that's okay.
Were you ready and waiting with the camera? Or
hell yeah, man. I had the video camera going the whole time.
Angles. Nice. Like, turns the lights down low, puts on some music. All right.
Make conversation sure tree. On vibrate.
Can download that massage app
and hold
for
this.
Xbox Live Arcade.
Didn't mean the controller.
This. No. Did we have anything else to cover in that email?
I don't think so.
I think we got that one. That was a good email.
I agree. Let's move on to another one then. This one's from In a Bit. It says, sup, Indus. Oh,
sup?
Wait. It's from Death Row.
Oh, okay, cool.
Death Row from VG Evo here. Do I think developers rely on gore to sell? Not really. No. It may be just me, but there hasn't been a game to ever interest me purely due to how gory the game is. I think
Have
there
you
was
seen
a point...
Mad World?
Yeah. I think there was a point where developers did make their game gory to try and join in with the current trend, but I think the industry has grown out of that, with, for the most part, them only being gory in relevant situations, if that makes sense. Do developers rely on sex selling their games? Again, I think the whole thing is over-exaggerated. There were times when it was the big thing to do, but the industry seems to be grown out of it. There are games that obviously use sex to sell. I mean, why is the Metal Gear Solid series so popular? What? I'll tell you. It's Snake's ass. Kojima makes sure to show off his sexy ass in every game Solid Snake is in. Look at Metal Gear Solid 4. He even gives us control over the camera so we can get a better view. Basically, no, they don't. Not anymore. Signed, Death Row.
Death Row.
That game kind of did disturb me because there was a lot of, you know, accentuation on the buttocks. Yeah.
Searching the guy's junk and then stuff would pop out.
True. Yeah.
There's a little bit of innuendo in that game, quite a
just
bit.
Oh,
bit.
A little.
Just yeah.
A
bit. Yeah.
But
let's be honest. We all were hoping there was going to be a sex scene between Otacon and what's her face, but they didn't show anything.
Oh, Naomi?
Naomi,
yeah.
Oh, I could not stand her. No.
She's hot, though.
She is hot.
Yeah, I don't know. I
know you prefer your man arm Meryl. That's cool.
Man arm Meryl.
Man shoulders.
All right. I'll take that.
I agree that the violence thing definitely, I don't think it's not so much the case anymore, where now it's more relevant. There's still this odd game out there that's like, hey, look at us. We're going over the top. I do think Mad World's one of those, but I don't think they did it. They're not gore isn't the gimmick. I just think if it wasn't gory, I don't think Mad World would have any market whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's true, I think. And, really? And that's due to the style of the way.
If it came out black and white with no gore and it was on the Wii, because the big thing was it was this gory game that was on the Wii. That's the first thing that got it on people's radar. Like, what? This is like a crazy over-the-top gory game on the Wii. That's not like Nintendo. And then, if there was no gore, I don't think people would give a rat's ass really about it. Like, most the people that normally would, you know, wouldn't notice something like that. Like, we still might be, possibly, but, I mean, that's what got our attention, like, let's be honest.
I mean, you mean to tell me that you can't make a stylized game or something that's at least interesting looking? I mean, look at how many games we have on, you know, the DS, PSP, look at games like Patapon or something like that, you know.
And look how they sold.
And what?
Look how they sold. I'm not saying that they're not good games. I'm just saying they don't sell. Okami, really stylized, awesome game, sold shit. Like, it's a Mad World will outsell Okami, it'll outsell Patapon, it'll outsell all those games. And the reason why is because it's stylized, but it also has gore.
I don't think Mad World's going to sell that well. But
don't think so?
No, I don't think so. Mm. I hope it does. I really do.
Yeah. But
just because I want to see the Wii come back. But anyway.
No, I hear you. There's definitely good stylized games out there that don't have gore, but the attention on them, like, I don't know. Jet Set Radio, awesome game.
Hello.
Yeah.
That was an awesome game. I love that game.
Indeed. Should we move on? Do we have anything
else?
Do you want to talk about butt cheeks anymore?
Well, the one thing that I was going to say is that he does mention that it's the whole thing is over-exaggerated, and that's true. Every time, it seems like every time that something happens that has something to do with sex in a game, it's just majorly blown out of proportion. And the Mass Effect thing is the perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
And BioWare probably loved that because look at the attention it got.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
And you know that's why we got Shwang in the DLC for, you know, Grand Theft Auto 4. You know, for real.
Rockstar have always been about trying to push the banners and stuff. But I don't know if they're always doing it in the best sort of interest, but
they're getting away with whatever the fuck they can.
That's right.
Shock value, and it worked.
Yeah.
And look at look at all the men's interest groups that are complaining about that in Grand Theft Auto. Oh, wait.
None.
Because what? Because as much as guys be like, oh, that's gross, whatever, it's funny shit. Like, how many of you guys have seen, Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
That was a hilarious scene. Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, with that first scene when I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but you have to see it. It's hilarious. And the entire theater could not stop laughing the entire time. And because I don't know, something about it. It's just, it's gross, but it's funny. And just like, you know, you'll never hear people laughing at boobs on the screen just because it's, you know, it's a thing of beauty.
Right. Even females can appreciate that. But a guy's, junk? No, it's not aesthetically pleasing. I don't think.
No, we just laugh.
For anybody involved.
Right. Oh, man.
All right. So,
funny.
What else you got?
Email.
All right, cool.
That's it. Question of the week. Who's this from? This is someone new. Mr. Yay. Bricolage. Anyway.
Bricolage.
So in regard to the question of the week, yes, absolutely. Oh, but also, no. Thing is, I want developers and gamers to make and play whatever they want. Video games can be so many things, and it really should be limited only by how far technology can be pushed and by what the community can imagine. I don't think developers should be forced to stick with an E rating. I wish consoles could have AO games, but I get why they don't. However, the yes part is this. A good majority of the critics' picks and big-selling games in the industry lately feature exploding decapitations or dismemberment or spattering blood everywhere. If gore is the primary thing people are buying this year, when it will it be the main thing game companies are selling next year? Mm-hmm. The problem for me is that I love to play all kinds of... All kinds of games. Yeah, I'm sorry, there was a typo in here. I love to play all kinds of games, but find myself buying games with gory content and trying to look past the aspects because I want the game, not the gore. Gore has its place. I love some Silent Hill. I don't think every game needs to be Wii Sports or Flower. I don't want to see the whole industry driven by M-rated games that spawn more and more bloodbaths. I don't think it's good for the image of gamers or the industry at large to have violent gore in the majority of AAA games. Oh yeah, and sex. Sex is fine as long as it's not condescendingly juvenile. But that's just me. Mr. Bricolage.
Thank you.
He speaks
well,
the truth.
It's definitely... He mentions that violence, if it's like too much, that it makes the industry look bad. And I think we've already seen that. You know? It's like, especially with people like Jack Thompson and shit like that, trying to make point everything at games. It's just...
Yeah, no doubt.
It's frustrating, and I'm sure that developers get frustrated about it. And I mean, Rockstar probably loves it because, hey, they're getting all this attention anyway, right? So,
and oh yeah, totally.
Even bad news is good news in that case.
It's a wise business model for them for whatever reason.
it's working. It's true.
I mean, did you hear about some of the bonuses that those guys got? I mean, millions of dollars. Wow. That these
I'm
guys
not
are
surprised.
Just ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Crazy talk.
So when are we going to apply for Rockstar?
Yeah. No, I would love to work there. So
that'd be cool. You'd have to move,
I think you would, actually. I've heard of lots of horror stories from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know an ex-employee. But then again, when it's an ex-employee, it's...
Right.
You know,
yeah, they usually have
everything
stuff to
exaggerated.
Say.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I would love to work in a place like that. I think I fully embrace that, I don't know, kind of the over-the-top blood and gore and violence and stuff. I mean, if it's put in a game that's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like the Grand Theft Auto games, and they're extremely violent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I also love, you know, or I really wanted to love games like, you know, One H Ambara or like X-Blades, mm-hmm. you know, when, you know, it's just... They're not hiding the fact that
here's ass, here's tits.
There you go. Yeah, I can accept that. Fine, it's lowbrow, whatever. But I have a good time with it. It's not a big deal. It's not killing anyone. So I mean, mm-hmm. shit. But I'm an adult. I can play whatever the fuck I want. That's right. Exactly. So
damn right. I think as long as it goes with the realism, not pushing it. Like the first time I played a first-person shooter, where if you got a rocket launcher, the guy blew up into a bunch of like giblets and stuff. I thought that was awesome. So then when I play a game afterwards, it doesn't happen. It's kind of like, oh.
what was the first game that you saw that's that?
It was probably Quake. I think Quake 3.
Really?
First Quake maybe? No, Doom. I think Doom was the first one.
Did you ever play Narc in the arcade?
Oh, yes. Sorry, it wasn't.
They would just like melt into a puddle of blood.
Those rocket launchers?
Yeah, like little flaming legs would fall out of the sky. It was fucking hilarious.
Narc was awesome. Guys are throwing dirty needles at you. Heroin addicts. What a great game.
Good stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
That was ridiculous. I never plugged that many quarters into Narc, though. They were all going into like Final Fight or something. But,
I played a lot of Narc actually.
That's what made me play Narc though, is when I saw someone have a rocket launcher.
You're also like what, like 12 years old too, or like
13. Probably something like that.
That's bit of blood. That's so awesome.
Exactly. The first game I played with blood ever was Technocop on the Sega Genesis, and like the first game that was like, I guess, technically gory. And I thought it was the coolest shit ever. First game I saw with boobs, I was like, oh my god, that's crazy. First game I heard someone or read someone say shit. Or fuck or ass. I was like, oh my god, they're swearing. This is awesome.
Oh, well, what about like Bionic Commando when you actually beat that the first time? And they said, damn. And I'm like, oh, he said, damn.
That head explodes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then his head explodes. That's right.
In Transformers, the movie, when Spike says, or is it Bumblebee, one of them says, "Oh shit." I was like, "Oh my god, Spike just swore."
Yeah, the thing was Spike. Maybe Spike's dad.
Yeah.
We should probably mention that that's the animated movie, not the live action.
Right. Yes, the animated movie. Yeah.
The Transformers movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I don't know that the chicken in the Transformers movie. What was her name?
She's hot.
Both of them.
Listen to us all. Yeah.
Yeah.
They sell them to people like us.
Get in doing Optimus Prime.
What the hell?
Like, you guys wouldn't pay to see that.
Yeah,
Bubble
probably.
Stop lubricating the man.
Oh, so what do you guys think about like AO rated games? Do you think it's a place in the industry? Do you think it's a wise thing to do?
I don't think there's a need for it right now. There's just much as like, I guess you can probably argue there's a need for porn to some extent, but I don't think there's a need for an AO rated game yet. Like,
well,
I mean,
that's really the thing, though. I mean, think about what.
Why
they
would you
consider
want one when you have just porn?
I'm not perfectly honest. I'm not saying that I would want one, but I know how well, you know, like hentai games sell. You know, there's totally a market for that.
Yeah. Oh, there's a market. Yeah. But I don't know.
I mean, what I was going to say is, but the thing about the AO games is that they throw that rating around too much as a threat to developers to tone things down.
Okay.
And I think that's where the problem is as far as that goes. It's like they put an AO rating on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas because it had content that you had to use a Game Shark to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, they switched the rating on that particular one, and they had to remake the game without that in it. You know, I just the content wasn't even that bad. I mean, you could see pictures, videos of it on like I don't know, they're out there. Yeah. But it's not horror. It's not. It's movie content. You can see that.
Oblivion had to be up to mature because somebody created a mod that made your players be everyone in the game be naked.
Right.
Which one?
That's that Oblivion, and that's not even something the developers did.
Yeah, that's true. It's ridiculous, and especially when you look at Oblivion and how the character design is. I mean, who would want to see them naked?
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing is, the AO rating doesn't mean it has to be like a porn game like that. It means it's got adult content in it. And it's the same thing as you get, I don't know about how a movie system work over here, but I mean, in Australia, like the top rating is R, which is 18 plus, which is, I believe, what AO is that over here, I guess?
No, well, here R is basically, to get like an NC-17 or like an adult, you'd have to be like pretty hardcore sexuality or ridiculously over-the-top violence where it's, like, super realistic.
Right.
Like, stuff. Like, the chances of that are really, really low. Unless you're going straight up porn, there's really no point.
Rated R here is 18 and up unless accompanied by a parent or an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
NC-17 is, you can't get in unless you're 17 or over.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, but the point is, though, that just because, if they use these sort of more adult things to do, you know, to tell sort of adult stories. I mean, it's still things if you're going to do like, I know drug use is an extremely touchy subject in Australia in terms of games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why they changed the names in Fallout, was to get around the rating issue there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few, which is ridiculous because it was it Velvet Assassin or something? It's like, like that got away with having morphine in it, which is what stopped Fallout.
Weird.
I don't know what happened there, but yeah, because they were actually really worried about it, and they went, "Oh, we'll try it," and they threw it, and they're like, "Oh, that's interesting." Well,
that's another thing we didn't really touch on is, I think the view on adult stuff in video games is the bar is a lot lower than what it would be in a movie or in anything else. Because I think whoever, like the NSRB and whoever does the, I can't remember what it's called in the States. You guys have some kind of legislation, fucking, I don't know, some kind of group that is the DEA or something like that, or.
I don't know what it's called. Yeah.
They basically go and say, well, this has to be rated this, whatever, whatever, and this has to be censored. But, if they wanted to get an AO rating for Mass Effect because of that little sex scene, whatever, and if that wasn't even on primetime TV, there's no way that would have to be, like, rated R or on at, like, 11 o'clock at night for what they show. That's, like, something you could watch at, like, 6 o'clock. So I think video games, they automatically assume younger people playing when that's not really the case, when the average gameplay is, like, what, like 28 years old or something like that?
It's into the 30s, I think.
Is it 30? Yeah. So, I mean, I think people just still associate it with younger players. So they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to show side boob. It should be adult, not mature, because it's a video game. I think they automatically lower the standard, or no, sorry, higher the standards for what's considered to be adult.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Hmm.
Like, on one hand, I applaud them for, you know, being so on top of it. But on the other hand, it's like, I want it to be more mainstream. You know, I want gaming to be more mainstream. I want it to be more accepted. I want the fucking PS3 to be, you know, that DVD player that everybody has, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think they've got to increase their market share. And if that involves putting out AO rate, or letting people, you know, put out like AO titles or something like that, then so be it. But I don't know if that's, you know, what'll happen, but... You don't have to sell that shit at Walmart, you know, obviously.
No, yeah. There's adult movie stores for a reason, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
bring on the porn games. Come on.
Yeah. and I think, you know, Pete said it earlier that the American culture, the American market is mm-hmm. very sensitive about that kind of shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. And it's like, seriously, if there's a boob, it's big news for everybody. Yeah. And like in Europe, it'd be like, eh, whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that stuff happens in movies all the time, and you know, it's not a big deal, you know.
Right.
But you know, it happens in a game, and it's like, oh my god, there's a friggin' epidemic. You know, society is like, you know, eating itself, and our children are gonna cannibalize one another.
It's gonna have a blob effect. Everyone's gonna go crazy, and everyone's gonna be wanting to touch boobs. Oh, wait a second, it's already like that.
No doubt.
I mean, problem is though that the people that are complaining about it, the people that don't understand gaming. I mean,
right.
They probably watch their kids play games, and they should mm-hmm. automatically assume the worst. And
yeah, and they're afraid that their kids are going to get their hands on these games. And you know, if you do your job as a parent, they shouldn't.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. It's kind of the same thing with comic books and music, and everything's gone through this.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And when these sort of new mediums come out, and you know, people will get uproar about it, it's going to destroy the world. And kids are going to be doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Right.
And after a while, people would just accept more and more, like they did with music was the big thing, I guess. Like, people got an uproar when Elvis would swing his hips and his while singing the songs and stuff. And oh my god, now you have like Britney Spears lying naked on a table, like, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and Repeat's right, actually. It's, you know, it's, a lot of it's due to being a new, you know, medium, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People are just kind of a little apprehensive, I guess. Yeah.
Like, and I think they're afraid of the interactiveness of it too. They're like, it's not, you're just not watching someone get stabbed or whatever on the thing. You're actually pushing the button to see it,
right?
Yeah. To do it. But I don't. That's like, again, we've said it a million times. The parents just don't be stupid.
Yeah.
And
don't buy Grand Theft Auto for your 10-year-old.
Right. Exactly.
But they will, and you know what?
Of course they will, because it keeps them quiet.
They'll let their kids see R-rated movies, and you know, I mean, that's just gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Basically, at this time being, do you see, because right now, realistically, the top selling games are all, I'd say, violence-y, besides the Nintendo staples that always sell a lot, no matter what. And right. Hey, Nintendo's best selling game, besides one of the Wii Fit or something like that, was Smash Brothers, and that's based on fighting.
Yeah.
So, do you think in the next time, like I say, in the next. Brothers.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but it's still fighting. Do you think in the next 5 years or so, we'll have like a new IP that's not violent, that a lot of like crack the top five best-selling video games that aren't
best-selling?
That's not a gimmicky, like,
we have that all the time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
I mean, look at The Sims. That's not really violent. That's all the shit.
Yeah, that's true. But why do people like playing The Sims?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Right. See how fast I can make them die. Okay, let's see if that fire at the house. It's crazy. You can do all this cool stuff.
Have sex, get married, you know, build a house and set a fire inside of, you know, with your spouse inside.
Oh, it's got pixelated stuff all over her face.
They blur it out. That sucks. Yeah.
Is there a patch for this? I gotta go to this place.
Gonna go look for some hacks and cracks.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at you know all the Mario games, you know, they always sell really well. You know, Ocarina of Time, which is still a top seller and stuff.
Well, like I said, beside the Nintendo staples that'll always sell because of the fan base, no matter what.
Okay,
but like I'm talking like any new IP, like the only new IPs that have jumped right into like a best-selling video game have always like been based on violence.
Oh, what Little Big Planet? Oh, wait, no.
Yes.
Oh, never mind. Man. I said nothing. All right. I am out of emails here, guys.
Mm. Well, what do we think then? Is it being used? Is it being overused?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I really don't think so. I don't know. Somebody else talk for a bit.
I think the gimmicky stuff it's been done and we've passed that. I mean, like I think Mortal Kombat was pretty much the original sort of gimmicky, you know, let's get over the top blood. Mm-hmm. And eventually you see what happened to that series. It really sort of fell off when they kept trying to push the same thing and everyone just went, yeah, the gameplay not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People have smartened up and people aren't trying to outdo each other. Like Mortal Kombat did steal a lot of players away from Street Fighter at the beginning, but no one's playing. Like there's way more Street Fighter players now than Mortal Kombat. And whatever happened to Time something. Like I can't even freaking remember the name of it right now. That game that came out after Mortal Kombat, it was sprite based, like cartoony, and you can actually cut the guy's arms off in the fight.
I had to go to like three different cities to find that game. Shit.
Yeah,
there was like some punk dude.
Time
with
was
chainsaw.
It still Time Fighter?
Something like that.
Was it Time Fighter? Yeah, it was like chainsaws, and like that game was totally based on gore. The fact that look at me, we're gorier than Mortal Kombat, and it is big flop.
Yeah.
So I think it's not being overused. I think most developers are smart about it, and they use it when it's relevant, or they use it to emphasize their art style, like in a game like Mad World.
Yeah. I would agree. I think that it's something that it's put in places where it belongs. You know, it's in a game like Resident Evil, you're going to see that gore there. That's the way the game works. You know, that's the way it would be if you were trying to shoot zombies in real life. But.
Well, the gore is not the thing. It's like sex and violence, right?
Yeah, it's just violence. Yeah, any kind of violence, true. Really.
Because shooting zombies is fighting the good fight. That's not really
violence. That's true.
But yeah, and the sex thing, I think that's not overused, but I still think in video games cases, it is used, and then like 98% of the time, to sell the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's no doubt.
I think the violence and the gore and stuff, that's got to a point where it's less gimmicky, but the sex and that sort of stuff is still in the sort of gimmicky phase of it.
Yeah, I think that's true. We haven't seen, and the thing is that like the games that do use that as like a major gimmick, they fail usually. You know, I mean, X-Blades has failed. I mean, it hasn't sold at all. I mean, same with One Chambara. It's barely sold anything. You know, you haven't heard anything about them since they were released. So, you know, it's there and they try and use it to sell, but I think gamers are getting more smarter than that.
Right. We are wising up to your tricks.
That's right. We are going to stare at this G-Sync because we want to, not because you're making us. I love this gameplay.
All right. So are we good?
Yeah, totally. I mean,
final words?
I will say that I think that there is I think there's predominantly more mature elements, you know, nowadays. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you listen to like any first person shooter, M rating or not, you know, somebody's swearing in there.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
You know, and it is pretty realistic violence, you know. Whereas, you know, you didn't see a whole lot of that before, but I don't know. I mean, you know, it's up to parents to, you know, shield their children or to, you know, make the decision whether or not, you know, they're mature enough to, you know, distinguish, you know, that this is fantasy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's fine. It has its place. It always will. It's not going anywhere. So.
Yeah, as long as they do it, you know, tastefully for the most part. And as far as like sex games go,
not even that. Because I still want that over the top stuff. I want those exploitative games as well because they're mindless and they're fun and, you know, they kind of tickle, you know, and not in my nether regions. Don't go there. But just like a funny bit, you know? They're fun.
All right. Cool. Good deal. Shall we move on to new releases?
Yes.
All right. Pete, do you want me to pause after each one?
Look it up. Play a couple
don't
rounds.
Jump in if I know it.
All right. Well, here's your first one. Totally Spies, Totally Party for the week.
Totally Gay.
Repeat Anything? Pick of the week?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So for the Wii, Totally Spies, Totally Party, blah, blah. Monsters vs. Aliens, obviously from the movie. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Echoes of Time.
I didn't know that was coming out so soon.
Yeah, and here's something that I thought was interesting. The Wii version of the game is the same price as the DS version. They are both $39.99.
Can't you play, like, can they link up or something?
Yeah, I believe they can. I don't know all the details of it, but I know that they can interact in some way, which I think is kind of cool.
But that's like $80 if you like really like the game, because you're gonna have to buy the other one.
That's crazy.
Well, it was like the old Crystal Chronicles, you had to buy Game Boy Advances to play it.
Yeah, that's true.
Cables. That was more expensive.
So true. All right, this is the bargain. Thanks, Squeenix, for
coming from Square. Yes, it is a bargain. Escape the Museum, Broken Sword, Samurai Showdown Anthology.
Hey,
Broken Sword, was that on the Wii?
Yeah, Broken Sword on the Wii.
What?
Is that an adventure game, I think?
It is. It's a, Shadow of the Templars.
What if it's a collection of, like, I think it's two or three of them at least? That could be kind of cool on the Wii. I think I've played Broken Sword 1 and 2, I think. And they're good games. They're just really old, so I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like it's like a puzzle adventure game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we need Pete on the show more often.
And here comes new releases with Pete.
Starring Pete. Kate West, The Vanishing Files.
Before you went that, did you say Samurai Showdown Anthology?
Yes, I did. Samurai Showdown Anthology.
What's that for? That's for the Wii?
It is for the Wii, and it is actually coming out for the PSP later on. But apparently it contains all of them. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 special, and 6.
Wow.
So nobody about the horrible 3D ones.
Everybody, donate to Jason's Wii cause is still in effect. All right.
Jason needs him some Samurai Showdown.
And Mad World and Overkill. Yeah.
Tatsunoko vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
No kidding. Lastly for the Wii, Guitar Hero Metallica. Who gives up? For the DS, Touch Mechanic.
Touch my what?
I don't want to touch the mechanic. Please keep the mechanic as far away from me as possible.
Oh, mechanic. They said something totally different.
What did you think I said?
Touch my mechanic.
Final Fantasy, Crystal Chronicles, Echoes of Time, Broken Sword, Monsters vs. Aliens, Lux Pain.
What?
And then a bunch of shit. Do you guys want to hear what the shit is?
Yes.
Repeat does.
All right. Imagine Family Doctor.
I already have.
Is she hot? There's sex in that game?
Why is it a family doctor, just like a normal doctor? Like, is there a distinction?
Ubisoft makes no rhyme or reason of what they do. No. Fashion Studio Paris Collection.
Is that Ubisoft too?
Yes. And no,
oh my god, if they stop working all this crap, maybe they can finally get Splinter Cell 5 out the door. Do that.
I'm making more money this way.
And here come the Discovery titles. Discovery Kids, Pony Paradise.
Discovery
Kids
video game.
Shit. Discovery Kids, Puppy Playtime.
Yay.
Discovery Kids, Dolphin Discovery.
Ooh.
Discovery.
Discovery, your discovery. Discovery Kids, Kitten Corner. And thank God that is the end of the list for the DS.
Thank God for this discovery.
All right. For 360. Ski-Doo Snowmobile Challenge. Our favorite game here at Indus, Wheelman.
Yes! Finally!
Wanted, Weapons of Fate.
Did you guys try the demo? Any good?
No, I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet.
I haven't tried it yet either. But, you know, it looks like an interesting concept. I did enjoy the movie for just like a mindless really action flick.
Oh, I love the movie.
Yeah.
I really like it.
And, you know, Angelina Jolie is hot, so that helps too. Storm Rise, which I will actually come back to, Monsters vs. Aliens, WWE Legends of WrestleMania.
That looks so cool.
And Guitar Hero Metallica.
Yeah.
Wait.
Now, Storm Rise is made by Sega, and it's an RTS. I have heard nothing about this game. Have you guys heard of this game at all?
No.
Raven Blade was pretty hyped on it. Then he read like a review, and it sounded pretty terrible.
Really? Because I saw some videos of it, and it looks like it's pretty cool. I mean, I suck at RTSs, so I'm not going to buy it. But it looked like it's awesome.
I think it was like it was super simplistic, and the graphics they weren't really detailed enough, so you couldn't really tell units apart except by the fact they've all got icons like above them. So you basically look at a bunch of 2D icons, and then but I think they were saying it was only like 9 or so different unit types, and it was really basic. But it was made by the I want to say it's people who do the Total War games, maybe.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think the developer of it was like a pretty seasoned RTS.
Yeah, you're right. Total War series, like, Creative Assembly.
Yeah, but I don't know. They keep trying these RTS on consoles, and
I watched a video of this, and they were, you know, they pimped the simplicity of the game a lot, and they, I forgot what they call it, but like this whip tech where it's like, I don't know how it works, but that's what they use to select your units and stuff. And apparently there's a feature that allows you to basically view the battle from any of your units' viewpoints, which I thought was kind of cool.
Okay, I've heard about this then.
Yeah.
But when do you do that in an RTS? Because you're constantly micromanaging stuff.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Gimmick. Yeah. It's their version of sex or violence.
That's
it looks pretty when you zoom right in, but you can't really play the game from that angle.
All right, cool. Move on to PS3. PS3 is getting Command & Conquer Red Alert 3. WWE, Legends of WrestleMania, Wheelman, Monsters vs. Aliens, Weapons of Fate, Wanted Weapons of Fate.
Is Monsters vs. Aliens Disney?
No.
Pixar?
I think it's Pixar. I think it's DreamWorks. DreamWorks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Want to see that.
Storm Rise and Guitar Hero Metallica.
Ooh, it's tough this week. Any other choices?
So many AAAs.
I'm trying to figure out my pick of the week right now, and it's not working.
I think I got mine.
Here's one for Jason.
Yeah.
For the PS2, Naruto Ultimate Ninja 4.
Now
you got. Now you have five.
I have that stigma now, don't I? I liked one fucking Naruto game. It's like, I'm a Narutard. Damn it.
You fuck one goat.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're a goat fucker. What the hell? Shit. Oh, sorry. Okay. PS2 is also getting Aliens versus Monsters versus Aliens. PSP is getting Major League Baseball 2K9.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your new release list.
Fuck, you really...
is our pick of the week. I think I have mine.
I got mine. Yeah.
Peter, what do you got?
I'm probably going to go with Broken Sword, probably on the DS.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Cool. Good, I'm going to go Samurai Showdown Anthology.
Samurai Showdown here, too?
Samurai Showdown here, too.
Broken Sword's a very close second, though.
Which one? Yeah.
Broken Sword's a very close second, though.
Okay, yeah. I've never even heard of it, so you said it was out on a PC before?
It was a pretty old PC adventure game series. It was all about the sort of Knights Templar and things like that. It was actually pretty cool. I liked it.
It had a cool art. Yeah, I really like one-click adventure stuff. So,
okay.
It should play well on the DS or the Wii. Actually, I think it actually got ported to the GBA back in the day as well.
Oh, for real? Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where's my Monkey Island compilation?
Yeah. I don't know what LucasArts is doing. They're sitting on so much good stuff they could stick out, but nope.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Especially on the Wii.
All right.
I don't have
anymore. Well, you have, it just doesn't work.
If you like to donate.
The Wii version of Indiana Jones, whatever the new game is going to have, one of the point-and-click adventure games on there.
That's cool.
I think the favorite lines.
Those are cool.
Which I thought was interesting. So.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal. All right, Jason.
Yeah.
Do we have any emails?
Oh, my God. I don't even know where to start. Let's start a... Oh, wait. I don't have any.
Oh.
Really?
Really. I don't have any emails.
I'm so disappointed.
I do have some voicemails, and I think now might be a good time to kind of talk about this. All right. So we've been getting some voicemails recently, and they're good. They're really funny. They're long, though. That's the thing. And they're also like reviews and stuff, which we're dedicated to not really doing reviews, even if they're like user reviews.
So, and I'm gonna say, I told a few people, so it's my fault that, yeah, go ahead and send it in. But
and that's fine, you know, if it's like short and sweet, you know, maybe we can use it. But I mean, if they're like 5 minutes long, if they're 10 minutes long, you know, or more than 10 minutes, it's tough for us to put it in the show. Not that we don't want to, but I mean, we already do a 2-hour long show as it is.
And if you send one in, like if you're gonna do like, don't do like a review, do like impressions.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing. Like, just tell us what you think of the game, and you know, just tell us about the game. So if it's something we haven't played or haven't talked about in our distractions yet, you know, send it in. That's cool. But God, don't make it over 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's another important thing. Like, if we've already kind of talked about it, there's not really a the stuff that we'd definitely be more like tend probably to play is something that we have not played. So instead of us being like, no, we didn't buy that shit. We didn't buy that shit. And then it was like, hey, well, you know, check this out. This is what I thought. Whatever. That'd be
I mean, if you can talk about, you know, one game for 10 minutes, you should be doing your own podcast.
There you go.
Not only that, I mean, if you do want to go ahead and record something, and some of them had, you know, actually had some like production value, you know, they put a lot of work into this, and post that shit, put it on the forums, put it in our forum, put it on VG Evo. You know, I do not want to discourage anyone from ever sending anything in.
Yeah.
But, and this is why it breaks my heart. To not be able to use this stuff because it just doesn't fit right now, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I really
it's okay.
Am.
All right. Well, question of the week. This one's kind of weird because we kind of already did our talk.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna go ahead and say the question of the week, and you guys will know what we're gonna be talking about next week. But the, you know, we've already done our interview with the Gamer Chick, so.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It's not really gonna affect anything if you send in emails or anything. So
yeah.
So here's what the question of the week was. How can publishers or developers get more women into gaming? We did have a professional gaming female that we got a chance to talk to, so you guys will be hearing more about that next week, hopefully. So, under normal circumstances, you can send your emails, not questions of the week this week, but you can send your emails to email@interactivedistractions.com, or you can send us a voicemail that is under 5 minutes. Under 5 minutes.
Under 5 minutes.
You know what? 2 minutes or under would be great.
Yeah, we like those.
30 seconds.
Just call up and say, hey, Indus, you suck, and then hang up.
That is perfect.
That's perfect.
Oh, no, shit,
I'm sure
we're
getting
now.
Some of them from MGC.
Yeah. good.
I want drunk dial from MGC, Dan.
It's going to happen.
Dial from MGC.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, this is going to be out after MGC is over. Which
I'll tell everyone.
Awesome. Thank you, Pete. So yeah, send us a voicemail. That number is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can also get us on Skype. It's Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Google Talk, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. I'm having trouble tonight, man. It's been rough. Let's see. We're also on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Twitter is Indus Podcast. And yeah, I think that about does it. You guys have anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Mike Ross, I love you. I'm a Mike Ross fanboy.
He has a picture of Mike Ross as his background on his computer.
So why him and not the Gutex?
I don't know. Mike's all like dynamic and shit, and he's like low key, and he's just like a real cool, smooth brother.
Nice. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I was going to say a quick story I forgot to tell earlier. Just me and Pete, while we're here, he was looking for a shirt to buy his mom, and I was looking for a fucking Street Fighter pad for 360.
Yeah.
And we went to I don't know how many stores, and finally I found one today.
Whoa.
And I'm cool. Like, it's on the wall. Nice. I'm like, oh my God, it was Blanca, which wasn't my character of choice. Okay. I was like,
hey, is that an Xbox 360 Street Fighter pad? The guy's like, hey, yes, it is. And then the girl working with us, she was like, hey, that's reserved. I was like, oh
fuck.
I was like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, someone has this on reserved. It shouldn't actually be up on there.
Oh, what? Like, mother she just bitch. Saw it and she wanted it.
Mother bitch!
That's honestly the first thing that came to my mind was they didn't even realize it was up there. And then one of them was like, oh shit, I want that.
Yeah.
But,
I would be surprised.
I almost lost my camera at Final Round. Like, I had it in my messenger bag, and it was, I think, Saturday night that I ended up leaving it in the, for whatever reason, inside the ballroom. I came back early the next day, and I talked to one of the dudes, and I'm like, you know, have you seen this bag? And it looks like an NES controller. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, man, I know what it is. And so he went inside, came back a couple minutes later, and he's like, no, didn't see anything. I'm like, wait a second.
You looked in and found the camera, didn't you?
That's exactly what I was thinking. But luckily, there was another dude there that was like, yeah, he's like, what are you looking for? And I'm like, I told him about the bag. And he's like, yeah, I know where that is. And he went right back in 2 seconds later, grabbed it, and then gave it to me. Of course, he gave me talking to first. He's like, what's in the bag? And I'm like, it's a camera. He's like, why the fuck did you leave the bag? I'm like, because I'm fucking stupid. He's like, you're damn right you are. So nice. I probably would have lost it, I think.
Yeah, that's
crazy. I would have cried because I want to see the video.
Yeah. I didn't get a ton of opportunity to shoot stuff, but I got a lot of crowd stuff. So we'll see what I can put together.
Yeah.
Cool. And we'll see it in 6 months.
Well, you know, first off, fuck you. second of all, there's really not a lot to work with. So.
We'll all right. It's 3 months.
Yeah, fuck you.
Hey Pete, thanks for coming on again.
Shit yeah, dude.
Yeah, no problem. It's good fun.
Cool. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed the show, and if you did, please tell a couple friends about us. And you know, if you're on iTunes, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it.
Yes.
So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
Yeah, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Theta.
Woot! Play your games, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
69, dude.
So I'll be out next week, but you'll hear me on the future.
Oh.
Sex. And violence. Sex. And violence.
All right.
Are we done with that?
Yeah.
Done.
I'm not done with it. I'll listen to you later.
All right.
Whoa.
Okay, what are you doing in that closet over there, Pete?
Are you raping a Wookiee?
A Wookiee.
That's what it sounded like.